the story of Joseph. When we last left Joseph a few weeks ago, he was in a prison, and he's still in this dungeon or this prison cell. And we talked about how to respond or how to act when we get in the prison cells of life, and talked about how sometimes we feel trapped, sometimes we feel like we have nowhere to go, and we talked about how we need to look for God during those times. We need to see God. We need to see God's mercy, and we need to surrender to God, and we need to serve God. And Joseph does this, and in the story of Genesis chapter number 40, you're going to see something that is really unique for a person who is in prison. And I think it's going to be a big help this morning. And title of this morning's message is Joy in the Jailhouse. Joy in the Jailhouse. Here, Joseph is, he's serving the Lord. He's serving the Lord with gladness. He is ministering unto other people. And I think this is something for us important to see, that God uses this. God is all throughout this time. He is preparing Joseph. He is preparing for what God has planned for him. And it's wonderful to see that the Lord was with Joseph. We looked at that last time. And we're going to read the majority of the chapter here in verse number 40. And we're going to look at this message, Joy in the Jailhouse. Now, just a brief introduction there. Remember Joseph's life. He had a lot of trials. He was loved by his father, given the special coat, made his brothers hate him. Brothers threw him in a pit. Brothers then sold him into slavery. When he was in slavery, he was in Potiphar's house. His Potiphar's wife tried to tempt him, and when he said no, Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. Potiphar then put him in prison, and he's in prison now. And now in prison, the Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him, and he is kind of in charge of the prison house at this point in time. He is still a slave. He is still a prisoner here. But we see, even despite his circumstances, he is serving God, and he is serving with joy. Let's look here in chapter number 40. It came to pass after these things. And what things were those? Those things, he's in prison. It says in the verses earlier that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made him to prosper. At the end of verse number 23, he says, and it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their Lord, the king of Egypt. Now, we don't know what happened. We don't know if maybe the baker had burnt something, or maybe the butler had spilled something on him. Not sure exactly, but he got mad at him. And just like any leader, he had whatever authority, whatever right to do whatever he wanted with his servants. He throws him in jail. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So Joseph was here, and he was bound. He was overseeing different things. The keeper of prison had given some special jobs and distinctions. Now, this is not just a common prisoner. This is a person who is the chief butler and the chief baker. So they probably have a little bit more leniency. They probably have a little bit more rights here. And the keeper of the prison sees this, and he gives Joseph charge of them. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. He's saying, Joseph, I want you to take care of these prisoners. And he served them, and they continued a season in ward. So he's there, and he, as a prisoner here, has been given the responsibility to take care of these two special prisoners. Verse number 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So one night, they both have a dream. Verse number 6, and Joseph came into them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. You know what? They were upset. They were sad. And Joseph sees this, and Joseph wants to minister to them, and Joseph actually asks them what is wrong. And he asked the Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? He say, Pastor, how do you know he had joy in the jailhouse? It's because he wasn't sad. He looks at these two prisoners and he says, look, why are you so sad? And the question is, not why were they so sad? The question is, why is Joseph so happy? Why is Joseph even caring about these two prisoners? Why would he even care whether they were sad or happy? He wants to minister unto them. Verse number 8, and they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto him, do not interpretations belong to God?
Tell me them, I pray you. He explains to him. He still believes in God. You see in this passage of scripture, Joseph had dreams earlier in his life. Those dreams got him in trouble. God, and he said, look, those dreams are left up to God and the interpretations are left up to God. You tell me the dreams, I'll give you the interpretations. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And we're not going to go through and read the entire dream. That really is not the important part. But in verse number 12, you see he interprets it. And Joseph said unto him, this is an interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver the Pharaoh's cup into his hand. And after former manner, when he was thou was his butler. So it was a good thing. The dream meant that he was going to get to go back to his old position. Verse 14, he actually asked the butler a favor. He says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh. He says, look, can you please tell Pharaoh about me and bring me out of this house? He says, look, I've not done anything wrong. He says, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So he's saying to the butler, look, when you remember, when you get out there, I interpret the dream, I helped you, now will you please help me? Verse 16, the baker sees that it was a good interpretation, so he wants to tell Joseph his dream too. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. Verse number 18, you skip that next verse, and Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof, the 3 baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off of thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off of thee. So, once again, it's not the importance of the dreams, it's just that Joseph actually interpreted the dreams with God's help. Verse 21, and he restored the chief butler into the butlership again. He gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. So he got it right. In verse 23, we see that Joseph is forgotten about. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. This morning, I'd like to spend a little bit of time trying to figure out Joseph. You know, Joseph is here. He has been stolen away out of the land of Hebrews. He is now in a dungeon. He is bound, which means he's probably got a chain around him. He might even carry around some type of ball. Back then, many times what they would do, they would work and they would have to sit there and have to push this thing around in a circular type thing. We don't know what's going on in Joseph's life, but we know it is a miserable life. But Joseph here has joy. How does he get that? I think it's important for us to try to see that today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into the message. Lord, help us today. Lord, there's a lot of things that we'd like to say, a lot of things I'd like to go over, Lord, but we need to hear from you. Give me the words that you want to be said. And Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts and our ears, Lord, to what we need to hear. Because Lord, this is so important that we understand that we serve you with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one is joy while serving. Joy while serving. Now you see here in verse number 7 again, he asked this question, wherefore look you so sadly today? Joseph's going about doing his duties. He sees these 2 fellow prisoners and he says to them, look, why are you sad? And I don't know about you, but my first thing when I was studying and looking and reading through this, it wasn't, hey, why are you two so sad? I think the question better is, why in the world is Joseph happy? I mean, Joseph, everything has gone wrong for Joseph. At the beginning of his life, he was promoted to be head of the family, even though he was number 11 when it came to brothers. He was given this fancy coat and loved by his dad more than any of his other brothers, but his brothers hated him. He was thrown in a pit, sold into slavery. And then while in slavery, God uses him, blesses him, makes him charge of Potiphar's house, but then he's tempted. He does what was right. He lives for God, and as he's living for God, he is once again punished by being falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. While in prison, the Lord is with him. The Lord blesses him. He makes his ways to prosper. And as he is prospering in the prison cell, these 2 guys come in. Now, I don't know about you, but usually when things are not going well, when things aren't going the best, it's not usually the time where you find joy, but this is when God wants us to have joy. God wants us to have joy all the time. The Bible talks about rejoicing always. Now, how could Joseph do this? And this verse came to my mind. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now, here, Joseph's mind is on not his circumstances, not on the chains, not on all the responsibilities he has. His mind is kept on perfect peace because of the fact his mind is on God. He is looking to God. He's not looking at all the problems. He's not looking at all the heartaches. He's not considering what's going on back in Canaan land. He's not being bitter towards his brother. He is concerned for these fellow prisoners. Why is that? Because he has a job to do. It's like we talked about a few weeks ago. When we're in the prison cell of life, we have a choice. We can sit, we can sulk, we cannot do anything, or we can look for God. And as we see God, we can surrender to God and say, you know what? God's in control, God has everything worked out, and I'm just gonna do my best at whatever He gives me, and then we can serve Him. And that's what Joseph's doing. He is serving Him. But when he goes and he's serving and doing all these things, he enters into this jail cell. And in this jail cell, he's got a butler there, and he's got a baker. In my opinion, I bet Joseph spent a lot of time with these guys. I bet you he loved to hear about the different things that would happen in the court of the palace of the Pharaoh. And here, he sees that they are sad, and this is a lesson for us. It's true that most of us can see no further than our own need. It's true that when we are in the prison cells of life, we don't have the time to be worried about the needs of others because all we can think about is ourselves. But if we take our eyes off of our needs and our worries and our concerns, and we put our eyes on Jesus Christ, and we learn to minister, that when we see someone else sad, and we see someone else going through a hard time, we will choose to minister unto them. And as we choose to minister unto them, God will be able to teach us the things He wants to learn. You say, "Pastor, what's really the big deal about all this?" Well, you think about it. There is the butler and the baker. You say, "Well, they're just prisoners. What's the big deal?" Well, if Joseph didn't care about them, if Joseph's eyes was not focused on God, and he didn't care about ministering unto the butler and the baker, what would have happened? If he would have just came in and maybe gave them their food or helped them do different things like he did every day and said, "Who cares that they're sad? They're not my problem. I'm not going to worry about it. I got my own issues. I got my own burdens. I got my own problems. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. I'm only going to care about me." And that's what we usually do in the prison cells of life. When things are going bad, we throw such a pity party, we could care less about anybody else. But what if Joseph had done that? If Joseph had done that and Joseph had not cared about the butler and not cared about the baker, he would have never heard about their dreams. They would have never said anything to him about their dreams. And because they would never learn about their dreams, Joseph would have never interpreted the dreams for them. And because Joseph would have never interpreted the dreams for them, the butler would have never had the chance to tell Pharaoh about Joseph. Say, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that in our lives, we miss ministry opportunities when we're so focused on us. I'm telling you that when God has a plan, He has a purpose, even though sometimes it's hard, sometimes it is tough, but it is biblical that we should serve and that we should serve with joy and have joy while serving, because we never know what God is teaching us and what God is training us and what God is trying to do in the prison cells of life and what God is trying to do with people who are sad and what God has trying to do when He brings people into our lives. We instead are so focused on us that we do not want to minister unto others. We don't worry about anybody else. And we miss the opportunity that God is trying to teach us so many times. Say, "Pastor, where in the Bible does it say I'm supposed to minister unto others?" It's all in there. Think about what it says. It's all through there. Philippians 2:4. "Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others." God wants us to look around for someone that we can help. Galatians 6:1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ." He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to lay down our lives for the others that we might get help. And that's not easy. It is not easy to be able to help others when we are hurting ourselves, but it is biblical. When you and I get ourselves eyes off ourselves and our own pains, our own needs, our own problems, and set our heart about the business of helping others and set our heart about what God wants us to do. His burden is light, remember. His yoke is easy. The Lord wants us to be a blessing, even when we're going through a hard time. Joseph's life has been shattered. His dreams have been shattered. He's being taken through the dungeon. It may seem that he is in prison to stay, but Joseph still has joy. This is the point. This is the whole message this morning. Is Joseph is able to have joy even while serving. They were sad if he would have missed it, if he would just say, oh, let him deal with it themselves. You know what would have happened? He would have missed the chance to speak to the man who helped him to get to be Pharaoh's, to tell him about Pharaoh. We need more people like Job who could praise God and worship him in the midst of extreme hardship. We need more people like Abraham who were willing to offer up his son Isaac and worship God. If God would give us more people who would just know that God is as much God in the storm as he is in the sunny days, and give us people that can have joy while they are serving, it will change our lives. The story is told about Charles Edison. Now, Charles Edison is the son of Thomas Edison. It gives us a glimpse into his father's faith from a book that was written. He said, one December evening, the cry of fire echoed through the plant. Spontaneous combustion had broken out in the film room. Within moments, all the packing compounds, celluloid for records, film, and other flammable goods had gone up with a whoosh. When I couldn't find father, I became concerned. He says, was my father safe? All his assets are going up in smoke. Would his spirit be broken? He was 67. For sure, he would not want to begin anew. He says, then I saw him in the plant yard running toward me. He said, where's your mother? He shouted, go get her. Tell her to get her friends. They'll never see a fire like this again. And at 5:30 the next morning, when the fire was barely under control, he called his employees together and announced, we are rebuilding. One man was told to lease all the machine shops in the area, another to obtain a wrecking crane from the Erie Railroad Company. Then almost as an afterthought, oh, by the way, anybody know where we can get some money? Later on, he explained that he was going to make capital out of disaster. He says, we can clear out a bunch of this old rubbish and build bigger and better than ever. You know, the idea here is Thomas Edison, in the greatest trial of his life, was willing to say, we can do this. We can accomplish this. We can have joy. Christian, I think, and I know I keep on saying this, we miss the ministry opportunities God has given us when we don't have joy while we're serving. When things are going hard and when things are going tough, we need to continue to have joy, and we need to continue to care about others. We need to continue to love others, because we never know what God is going to teach us through that person. One preacher wrote this about character and providence, and I thought it was good. He says, we are reminded by this history also that character of the individual has as much to do with what I have called the development of the plot of his life as to the plan and purpose of God has. Providence is not fatalism. Joseph, if he had chosen to act otherwise than he did, might have thrown away all the opportunities which these places of junction in his life had afforded him. The men that fail in life do not fail for want of such opportunities as Joseph had, but for want of the character to seize these opportunities and the ability to use them. Keep near to God, therefore. Form your character according to his principles. And then, even though you may be in prison, you will find a way to serve him and will feel comfortable that somehow you are on a road to your success and in training for your spear. You think about it over and over in the Bible. Some people did not seize the opportunity. You think about the opportunity that Moses had to be able to go to the promised land. But because he did not obey God, he did not seize the opportunity to talk to the rock. Instead, he smote the rock. He did not get the chance to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. Think about it. Joshua had that great opportunity to go to the walls of Jericho. And he had all this great opportunity to fight those giants. I believe God would have allowed Moses to go through and do all those things if he did not disobey God. One last thing about this thought about serving with joy. Joseph was able to serve with joy because he had a clean conscience. This is important. Look what it says in verse 15. He says, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. I think it is so important that we realize that if we really want to have joy in this life, one thing we need to have is a clear conscience, a clean conscience. Now, this does not mean that you have to be perfect. This means you have to be constantly confessing to God. I tell you, we can't really have joy in our life when we have sin and unconfessed sin in our hearts. If there's something that's weighing us down, we know that we have a hidden sin. We know we have a bitterness maybe that we haven't dealt with. We know we have anger that we are struggling with, or maybe jealousy, or maybe some hatred. We have something in our hearts and something in our lives, and we cannot go on serving with joy because we know we are rightfully where we should be because of a sin that we are not willing to deal with. Joseph was able to serve, and he was able to have joy while he served because he had a clear conscience. He says, I don't deserve to be here. He says, I was stolen away out of my land. He says, I was put in this dungeon and they had no right to put me here. But I'm going to continue on serving, and I'm going to continue serving with joy because my conscience is clear. I don't deserve to be here. You think about Paul when he wrote, for rejoicing in this, a testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but with the grace, by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. Conscience is something that is so key to our lives. Now, what do you have a clear conscience? I tell you, one of the greatest things you can do in your life is when you can lay your head on a pillow at night, being right with God. A clear conscience that you did exactly what God wanted you to do today, and there's nothing between you and the Savior. There's no greater feeling. Our clear conscience. Joseph could serve God with joy because his heart was on God, his thoughts were on God, because of the fact that he was ministering and because of the fact that he had a clear conscience. This is point number two. It's not as long as the first one, is joy while believing. Joy while believing. Now, this little point here, I don't know if it, for me, it works. As you study, you read sermons, you read commentators, and I didn't see anybody bring this point out, but for me, it's something that helped me, and I hope it will help you. You know what? He had joy while still believing in God. Look what it says in verse number 8. Genesis 40, verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed the dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Now, if it was me, and I'm sitting here with Joseph, and I'm listening. They say they're sad. Why are they sad? They said, we've had dreams, and we don't know how to interpret it. Now, Joseph could think, you know what? I used to have dreams too. 20, 30 years ago, we don't know how old Joseph is. I think he's about 28 years old right now. He says, you know, 20 years ago, I had this dream that my brothers are going to bow down to me. I thought the dream came from God. And, you know, even said my mom and my dad were going to bow down to me. I thought those dreams came from God. And God never answered those dreams. But that's not what Joseph says. See, Joseph has joy because he's still believing in God. He doesn't understand all the plans. He doesn't understand what's going on. But he walks up to these two men and he says to these two men, he says, look, the interpretations of a dream belong to God. It's not your job to figure it out. It's not your job to figure out. It's not my job to figure it out. It's your job to just do what you're supposed to do and let God interpret your dreams the way He wants to. Joseph, while in the prison cell, is sitting there and he's still believing in God. He's still believing in the dream. He says, I had these dreams. I know they came from God, and I am allowing Him to work them out according to His plan and according to His purpose. I am going to serve Him to the best of my ability. I'm going to serve Him because I love Him. I'm going to serve Him because He is God, and all I can do is bow the knee, and I'm going to let God take care of all the other details. To me, that he was kept at perfect peace. Why was that? Because his mind was stayed on it. It may possibly cause momentary surprise that Joseph, who interpreted others' dreams, was left in ignorance of his own destiny. It not frequently happens that those who believe are passed in an unrelieved sadness, or nevertheless the instruments in God's hand of producing joy in others' heart. Just serve Him while believing and trusting in Him. You can never tell what God is doing in your life. I think about the story of Esther. Esther was that Jewish girl. We have no idea why it came out. She came out of nowhere, and God allowed her to become queen. Of all the different lands that the king was in charge, he was looking for a new queen. Of all the different lands, she became queen. She thought that she was something special, but then her people needed her. And she became timid and she became fearful. He says, and Mordecai had to come and remind her. He understood this about Esther's life, that everything was going great for Esther and that God had made her queen, but God had made her queen on purpose. He said, for thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time. Then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now here's the point, is that what Mordecai was telling Esther, he says, look, things look great for you, but you don't know why God brought you here. He says he might have brought you here for the whole reason that you could help your nation right now, for such a time as this. And what we got to understand is when life seems to be going great and we're sitting in the palace, we need to serve with joy. We need to continue to believe with joy. Joy while believing that God is doing something when things are good. But just like Joseph in the prison cell can look at these two men and says, look, it doesn't matter what the interpreter says about your dreams. Those dreams belong to God, and only God can give you that interpretation. And when you're going through a hardship and when you're going through a hard time, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God's plan. Don't give up on God's dreams for you. Don't give up on what God has designed you to be. Instead, continue to serve with joy. Continue to have joy while believing that God is in control of all things. Say, how can you do that? Joseph, it says that thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Do not interpretations belong to God? Only God can interpret dreams, because God is the only one who holds the future. You know, those two men, they were sad. They were sad because in Pharaoh's court, they had magicians and they had sorcerers who would come up and say, tell me your dream. And they would interpret it whatever way that they could sound fancy. They had no clue what they were talking about. And that's when Joseph said, don't worry about any of them. There's only one person that holds the future. There's only one person who knows the future. That is God. Get involved in what he has planned for you. Don't miss the opportunity by not serving him with joy. Don't miss the opportunity by not having joy while believing. And last but not least, joy while learning. Joy while serving, joy while believing, and joy while learning. I don't know about you, but we all have things to learn. We all have things that we can learn. Mr. Armstrong at 101 years old, there are things he can learn. There are things that people that are children can learn. We all have things that we need to learn. And God uses circumstances in our lives to teach us what he wants us to know for the future. There's some things, I love the story of Joseph. I see about all the things that Joseph had learned here. Look what it says in verse 23. And Joseph helps the butler out, gives him the good word. He asks him one request, just remember me. And what does it say? Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. One of the things Joseph was learning here is he learned that he could not have confidence in man. Now, what is God doing? God is preparing him. I think this is wonderful. Each stage of Joseph's life, when Joseph was a boy and his father loved him, I think it taught Joseph that the love of God's father. But when Joseph saw his brother's hatred, I think that taught Joseph that even those that are close to you can be mean and cruel and hatred. I think as he takes him to Potiphar's house, he shows that God is still with him, even in a foreign land, and that God can still bless him. And he lifts him up to do what? He oversees the house. Now, over here, Joseph someday is going to be prime minister of Egypt. But Joseph has to learn some things. Being coddled by his father and being loved by his father and spoiled by his father is not going to teach him how to be the prime minister of Egypt. It's not going to teach him how to be able to control the food source for the whole entire world. He's not going to be able to save lots of people's lives by just living back in Canaan. He had to learn the love of his father. He had to learn the hatred of his brothers. He had to learn how to oversee Potiphar's house. He learned how to oversee things. I think he learned another important lesson. He had a prison to choose. He could have chose the prison of going to the prison cell where he was at, or he could have chose the prison cell of lust and stayed with Potiphar's wife. You know what? Someday over there, prime minister of Egypt, he's going to have a lot more women trying to seduce him. He's going to have whatever pleasures he wants in his life over here as prime minister of Egypt. But you know what he had to learn? He had to go through with Potiphar's wife. He had to learn that his relationship with God was much more important than having lust and having have a fling or having some type of fun for just a few minutes. God's teaching him all through this. He goes down to the prison cell. He has to learn in the prison cell that God's still with him and that God can use him here. I think when the baker and the butler's there, you know what they're teaching him? They're teaching him all about what goes on in the court of the Pharaoh. They're teaching about all the traditions and all the things that happen, what you're supposed to say, how you're supposed to look. He's learning all these things. God is taking things and adding one thing on another thing and another thing. All along the way, God is preparing him for his destiny, which is over here. But if he would have fallen at one of those spots, he would have never made it over here. See, we need to continue to have joy while we're learning. We need to understand that the circumstances of our lives, when God brings something, we can still have joy, even though the hardships are hard. But we can still have joys. His brothers, you know, Potiphar, his brothers failed him. His admirer failed him. And he was crying out. He was crying, you know, he learned that he cannot have confidence in man. His brothers failed him when he cried out from the pit and they would not hear him. His admirer failed him when she falsely accused him. His earthly master failed him when Potiphar put him in jail. Joseph's companions failed him when the butler was not willing to remember him. But the one thing he learned was that Joseph's God would not fail him. He said, do not interpretations belong to God. He still had faith and he had belief and he had trust in God even in the hard times. Joseph learned the lessons God was teaching him during the prison cells of life. What are we learning today? You know, one of the hardest things, you see it found in verse here, when you see it says in verse number 1 in chapter 40, and it came to pass after these things. One of the hardest things to do in life is wait. Now, so much how God has put into our hearts, and so much we think God's plans are and what God's dreams are for us, and we think that this is the way our family should be, this is the way our church should be, this is how I should turn out, this is my goal, this is my dream for me. And what God is saying, whoa, I'm the one that holds the future. This is what I want you to become. This is what I want you to do. And you have to go through dealing with your families, and you have to go with dealing with people that falsely accuse you. You have to deal with people who imprison you for wrong things. You have to deal with people who are sad, and you don't have the time, and you don't have the energy, and you don't have the strength to have the joy to help somebody else because you're dealing with your own problems. But if you keep your eyes focused on God, you can minister to them, and God can use them someday to lift you up out of that prison cell and put you on the path that he had desired for you. But sometimes it's hard to wait. Sometimes we want everything now. The psalmist said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? The psalmist was saying, Lord, I'm tired of waiting. But we see Joseph here, patiently learning from God. You can have joy even while learning. I like this little poem. It says, I walked a mile with pleasure, and she chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser. For all she had to say, I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word she said, but oh, the things I've learned from her when sorrow walked with me. You know what? We learn so much more in the prison cells of life than we do in the palaces unless we learn the lessons ahead of time. There's a story told about Charles Colson. Some of you recognize that name. He received the Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion. This is actually a $1 million reward prize. It's the largest prize for achievement in any field. It is ranked higher than the Nobel Prizes in such fields as science and literature in the belief that religion is more important. Colson, having served 7 months in prisons for obstructing justice in the Watergate cover-up, was known for the scandal as the scandal's hatchet man. His conversion later led to the founding of a prison fellowship in 1976. In response to the reward, Colson said, out of tragedy and adversity come great blessings. I shudder to think of what I would have been if I had not gone to prison. Adversity can be God's refining fire. What this man said, if I had never gone to prison, I do not know what I would be like today. I don't know about you, but I shudder to think where I would be if I did not give my life to Jesus Christ.
I shudder to think if I did not learn the lessons that he's been trying to teach me over the years. I shudder to think how many butlers and bakers I have just walked by and I ignored, and God could have used them in my life to teach me something. I shudder to think what God has tried to teach me, but because I was not serving with joy and I did not have joy while believing and joy while learning, what I missed out on. You know what? We do have prison experiences. But where do we keep our focus at? What's our life focused on? Joseph here, he had joy while serving, joy while still believing in God. I love the fact that he had dreams and he says, look, those interpretations belong to God. He doesn't say, well, I thought this was going to happen. I thought, you know, he says, no, that's God to take care of. It's my job to just serve. It's my job to surrender. It's my job to serve. And joy while learning. I know some young people hate going to school. And to be honest with you, I wasn't the greatest student in high school. And for part of my college time, I didn't do the greatest because I didn't like learning in that atmosphere. And some of us just do not like trials because we just hate learning that way. But if we look back on our lives, how much more have we learned when difficulty comes? And the prison times of life where we have no other hope but to cry out to God, we learn so much more than we do when the palace, like Esther, who's oblivious, thinking, oh, this is nice, I'm queen, everything's great, everything's wonderful, nothing's going to bother me. You know, Joseph learned so much more in the prison cell. Esther had to be reminded that God put her there for such a time as this. And when we learn through the lessons of life, it reminds us for such a time as this. You know what? It's not a surprise that you're here in May of 2015, Faith Baptist Church. In a world that seems like it's going wicked, in a world that seems like it's going haywire and anti-God, God's placed you here for such a time as this. You can go through your whole life being concerned about all your problems and all your issues, or you can spend your life having joy while serving, caring about the needs of others. People that you should not even have to worry about, still caring about them and letting God have his way with your life and giving it all over to God and just giving it and saying, Lord, I'm going to have joy while serving. I'm going to have joy while still believing that you have a plan and a purpose for my life, and I'm going to have joy while learning the things you want me to teach me. One question for you. Are you a Christian? So you can't have the joy that God offers us without being a believer. Amen. Now, I shudder to think what would happen in my life. I don't have no idea where I would be today if it was not for Jesus Christ and for the lessons I learned. But have you ever accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior? Jesus Christ came to this world to die for the sins of mankind so he can make you a new creature, give you a new life, and be able to have a life full of joy. You'll never understand what true joy is until you put your faith and trust in him. Let me encourage you to get that settled this morning. There is no other way. There is no other way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Make sure you have that settled. And to most people today that believe, that are professing that they are believers, do you have a joy in your life? Are you walking past people every day that God has placed there to help you and help you along the way because he wants you to learn something while serving with joy, and you just walk right by them and says, I can't. Don't got time. I got too much about me. You know what? I shudder to think how much we've missed because our character was lacking in believing in God and what he could do in our lives. Joy while serving. Joy while learning, and joy while believing. I pray that you can learn the same lessons that Joseph did by just trusting in God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.